What's up, my fellow Friday the 13th freaks? On this episode, we talk about some freaky Friday the 13th facts. A giant six-legged feline. Edgegrave Dave reviews Friday the 13th, Jason Lives, and much, much, much more. So let's go to camp.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ghost Joe here. I am your host, of course. This is Warped Reality Podcast, Season 2, Episode 29, the Friday the 13th special. So, yeah, you know, the holidays are behind us. All the happy, nice, joyous holidays are behind us. But other than Halloween, a paranormal and horror fan's other favorite holiday is Friday the 13th. And what's nice is that a lot of times we get more than one Friday the 13th throughout the year, which is quite, quite great. I mean, there's nothing like watching an awesome horror movie on Friday the 13th. It's just amazing, especially if you watch a Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th, which is even better, right? So yeah, with that being said, I have a great show for you guys tonight. Edgegrave has an awesome review of my first horror movie that I had ever seen, Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Amazing movie. And I have tons of facts for you guys and a great Tiny Terrifying Tales. So you're going to love the show and stay tuned. Let's get on with the show. So as I said, you know, there's times when Friday the 13th does come around more than once a year, which is pretty awesome, right? But of course, you know, this date isn't, it's not really uncommon. You know, it's Friday and it's the 13th. Sometimes it even comes around three times a year. In fact, this is a cool fact. Any month that begins on a Sunday will have a Friday the 13th. So go ahead. You know, I'll wait. Go ahead. Check your calendar. Okay. You see, was I right? Cause, I didn't really fact check that one. I guess I should have. Anyway, although this date is considered very unlucky, there really is no rhyme or reason for the fear. Some say it dates back to Christian belief or a centuries-old clerical error. A lot of hysteria began with a book entitled Friday the 13th by author Thomas Lawson, in which a stockbroker chooses that day to deliberately crash the stock market. So let me see if I could pronounce this one right. Let's check this one out. Frigatriskaidekaphobia is the fear of Friday the 13th. And triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13, which is, of course, more widespread. Many airlines, hospitals, and buildings even omit a 13th floor due to the superstition. Some notable birthdays on Friday the 13th include the master of suspense and horror himself. Alfred Hitchcock was actually born on Friday the 13th, which is pretty cool. Julia Louise Dreyfus of Seinfeld, of course. Steve Buscemi, awesome actor. Fidel Castro, the very beautiful Kat Dennings, I love her. Darius Rucker, who many like to call Hootie, because he is the front man of Hootie and the Blowfish. And this one is kind of fitting, that Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen were born on Friday the 13th. So, yeah. So, some notable deaths on Friday the 13th include Italian composer Gioacchino Rossini. There you go. In 1868, stuntman Sam Patch in 1829, and rapper Tupac Shakur in 1996. Also, just this past year, Ted White, who actually played Jason Voorhees in the movie franchise of Friday the 13th, passed away on, you guessed it, on Friday, October 14th. You know, pretty close enough, right? So, but there are plenty of tragedies that actually happened on a Friday the 13th. That, I mean, you could either attribute it to it's just happened on that day, or maybe that day really is unlucky. But let's go through some of these, right? So on a Friday the 13th, German forces had bombed Buckingham Palace on a Friday, September 13th in 1940. A plane crashed in the Andes on Friday, October 13th in 1972, where 29 people died and 16 survivors had to resort to cannibalism to survive. That's as Friday the 13th as you could get, man. On Friday, June 13th, 1952, a Swedish flight disappeared while flying over the Baltic Sea, never to be seen again. Also on a Friday the 13th, a 13-year-old British boy was apparently struck by lightning while watching an air show on Friday the 13th, and it happened at 13:13 military time, that is. So that's a lot of 13s, man. And he actually survived that, which was, you know, luck. You know, that was cool. Very good. Anyway, the Costa Concordia sank into the ocean on January 13th, 2012. According to Vanity Fair, I don't know why I'm quoting Vanity Fair, but hey, what the hell? It became the largest passenger ship ever wrecked, with almost double the number of people on board than on the Titanic. 32 people died, and the captain was eventually, he was convicted of manslaughter in 2015. And on Friday, April 13th, 2029, there is supposed to be a huge asteroid that is predicted to come extremely close to Earth, originally suspected to hit us. You know, I wonder if that's why NASA had run that test recently to see if they can destroy asteroids with a rocket. You wonder if maybe it's a test, but maybe it's a test for this situation that they're getting ready for. That's quite a possibility, you know? So if you've had any crazy bad luck or good luck associated with Friday the 13th or the number 13, let me know about it, all right? Because I'm going to kick that 13's at. All right, just let me know about it. Leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744 or email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. All right, so now let's get on to some out-of-this-world news. So a UFO has people baffled as mysterious light in the sky vanishes in an instant. See, the bright light was spotted by residents above several districts of West Bengal, India, with footage being shared on Twitter, and it's showing a luminous object in the night sky. So the strange sighting was made on Thursday, December 15th, and people are unsure of what to make of it. The strange conical shapes, light looks like a torch's beam, but it's way too high in the sky, and the light appears from nowhere. As the Daily Star had reported this, at the beginning of the trail, there is a small glowing orb that resembles a meteorite or a reversed rocket launch. But witnesses said the light disappeared in an instant, ruling out both explanations. The sighting was made in West Bengal, India, and so far, people have been completely unable to explain it, with some now certain they've seen a UFO. One resident said, "It is very close," with another commenting, "Doesn't it look like a UFO? The light has vanished." Initially, officials were just as concerned and launched an investigation into what could have caused the phenomena. However, the light is now believed to be the result of rocket testing by the military from a nearby bay of Bengal. India TV reported that the object was likely an intercontinental ballistic missile known as the Agni 5, which is capable of speeds up to 3,100 miles per hour. The media outlet noted that the Indian military last tested the Agni 5 back in October 2021. See, that just sounds like a government, I don't want to say government cover-up, but, you know, like a government lie, you know, about this sighting. You know, it just sounds like it's silly. Like when you say that the space trash and stuff, but it came weeks after an unexplained black ring was spotted in the sky above St. Sentosa, Singapore, in the evening, and that illuminated the city with a strange glow. Commenters had a lot to say about the strange appearance, with suggestions that it was a UFO sighting. However, you know, some thought that the theory was a little too outlandish, and, you know, being killjoys and all, they said that, you know, it could be birds in a migration pattern. But yeah, I don't know about that. But meanwhile, a former CIA agent has shared a shocking deathbed confession saying that Area 51 is real and that he went there and saw real life aliens. The anonymous 77-year-old man spoke to UFO researcher Richard Dolan and award-winning documentary maker Jeremy Corbell during a sit-down interview where he lifted the lid on top-secret government projects. He made claims about the infamous Area 51 and said he's seen UFOs in the flesh. I mean, you don't see UFOs in the flesh because they don't have flesh, but that he's seen UFOs in person, basically, and confirmed the existence of extraterrestrials. He gave an amazing interview after allegedly being warned to stop sharing confidential information, as he thought he would soon pass away. So he spilled the beans. Hopefully that comes out and we get to read more about that. That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? So now, I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing me talk. Let's get on with some horrible reviews by Edgegrave Dave. Let it rip, Edgegrave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Happy Friday the 13th, grave diggers. And the grave that we're going to be digging up tonight is none other than the horror icon, Jason Voorhees. There are so many movies to discuss for this incredibly famous, horrific franchise. But we're going to be talking about, and this is also a gift for our very own Ghost Joe, Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, 1986. Now, this film is the film where Jason is in the form that he is the most recognizable. Here we go. Spoiler alert. The Jason crazy superhuman strength zombie-like creature that we've all come to love and know in the hockey mask was born in this movie. This is not to take away the other films that came before it, as this sort of like Ghost Joe is the first depiction of the character that I've actually ever seen myself when it was on TV. Back when movies were edited and you can see them on a late night, maybe 11 o'clock on a Saturday night or during Halloween season. This is the movie where kids were dressing up in droves, in hockey masks, with their machetes, with their bloody axes, you name it. They would be coming around the mountain when they come trick-or-treating. And the reason why I say this is his most recognizable form is because before this point, in the first four films that you do see Jason, he is more of a human character. He kind of gets hurt a little bit more easily. He's kind of stopped a little bit more easily. He still has his hockey mask, which he did get in part three. And by the way, that film was also shown in 3D in theaters. And in the box set that I do have, I still have the 3D glasses. And it is the way that I view that film of choice. But Corey Feldman, who did play a very young Tommy Jarvis in part four, the final chapter, did stop him. So in part five, they tried something a little different. Jason was dead. Jason was gone. And now a more grown-up Tommy Jarvis is sent to a mental facility and he has some problems. They tried toying with the idea that he would take up the mantle as Jason. And ultimately, spoiler alert once again, unless if I didn't spoil it already, they had a different person that was doing the killing, looking like Jason. While that film, Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, made a lot of money, it didn't really please the fans as much, and it did alienate them, making it one of the worst entries by the fans in the entire series. I, for many different reasons, do enjoy that film nowadays, as looking at the different killings and things like that. But Part 6 really drove this home and brought it back really for the entire franchise. This film was written and directed by Tom McLaughlin, starring Tom Matthews as another version of Tommy Jarvis, Jennifer Cook and C.J. Graham as the unstoppable Jason Voorhees. This film has got it all. This film has a mix of a little bit of humor to it. It has some action. Some of the killings are just absolutely fantastic. Jason's look, the way that C.J. Graham did portray him, has an almost militant look with all different tools and weapons, the way that he walks. He even has a tool belt. He has gloves. He has very efficient ways of tracing and targeting his victims. There's a lot of old school horror, even Universal Studios elements in this movie. The way that he's brought back, lightning strikes his freaking grave, and with that, he is brought back an unstoppable zombie-like creature, as mentioned. The way that he moves, the way that the music is, I mean, it's done very, very well, and it was refreshing. Up until this point, you really didn't see Jason doing a lot of the killings. You would see the killings happen. Jason would usually show up at the end. There was a big chase, a big climax. Here, you actually get to see full body Jason in just most about all of the scenes, and that's just fantastic. The way that the lines are delivered, there is some humor in this film that wasn't introduced before, where at this time in 1986, the slasher genre was full steam ahead. And you even have a character, when they first see Jason, when they're driving down a road, says, "I've seen enough horror movies to know what not to do in a horror movie," basically. And Jason's right there. You have a lot of very interesting things. There's this one paintball match going on, a bunch of guys, where one of them breaks a tree branch. I know that this is one of Ghost Joe's favorite scenes, and he's trying to put it back on. I mean, imagine breaking something like in a forest and, you know, just, "I'm going to try to put that tree branch back on," and that's not going to work. You have somebody that gets killed, and you see their credit card kind of like floating out of their pocket while they try to even offer Jason money before he kills them. And I remember one of the behind the scenes on the DVD, one of those scenes that says, "Never leave home without it." That's what the director was actually going for. So C.J. Graham has an excellent depiction. I really like the story in this one, and rewatching the entire series recently, I would have to say that it's one of my absolute favorites too. I do like that Tommy Jarvis is continuing from the fourth and fifth entry. Many people do call this film the Tommy Jarvis trilogy, actually. And what's really cool about it is it returns it to its roots of when Jason drowned as a boy in Crystal Lake and he has to go back to his final resting place. And a lot of bodies are disposed of along the way. This is also one of the very first films in the franchise that actually has kids. I mean, they're always talking about the camp in so many of the films, but you never actually see them. Most of the reason, because Jason stops the camp from opening usually and kills everyone. This one, you actually see the children. There's even a little girl that sees him for a moment, and she even does this little prayer, closes her eyes, and Jason's gone from the events that are happening in the movie. I found that very interesting. There is a car chase in this film. That doesn't usually happen in any of the previous entries here. You have really no nudity, which is interesting too. I mean, there's always somebody that's kind of getting it on, but in this film, they're actually fully clothed, which I believe is one of the only films in the entire series to actually do that. Love the soundtrack. Alice Cooper has a whole bunch of songs in the movie, and one of the most iconic from this film is "The Man Behind the Mask," and that's actually played twice during the film and in the credits. I mean, it just really kind of is pumping, and it gets you going. I love how Tommy Jarvis, you know, still remembers things that happened in the fourth entry from the final chapter. And I love how they try to stop him. I love how they take a chain and put it over his neck, and he is gonna, since he can't be killed, he's just gonna be stopped, and he's gonna be at the bottom of that lake again to return to his final resting place. This film has it all. There's many elements. It's very fast paced, and this sets up future installments for how the Jason is that we love and know. Now, I do, as I've said, truly love the other films in this series, and I love a lot of the more earlier classic entries where it's kind of slow moving. You know that Jason's there, but you don't really see him. The same with his mother in the original Friday the 13th entry from 1980. I mean, if you're looking for a great movie to kind of start, I mean, I would of course say watch them in the theatrical order that they came in, but part six really has something for everyone, and the series was really going strong at this point. You can't really talk about the horror genre at all without talking about Jason Voorhees. Really, I mean, next to Michael Myers, you know, he is probably the most famous for the stalking silent killer that wears a mask and that just has billions of sequels. I mean, really, they have to make a 13th film here. I think that we're all waiting for it. I'm so very happy that the lawsuit from Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham is now finally over. We had a freaking great game that came out in 2017. I played it quite a bit, actually, and I love how in that game you have the Tommy Jarvis from Part 6, Jason Lives, that comes to help you. I love how they borrow music from it. I love the whole style of it. And really, Jason Voorhees is one of my absolute favorite horror icons ever. So definitely check this out. Another thing that I do want to mention is that this film really saved the entire series. The reception was just awesome. This film grossed over $6.7 million in its opening weekend, ultimately to gross $19.4 million. This film was shot on a very small budget, to be honest with you, with just a few million dollars, and they did a great job. And I think that for a $3 million budget and to make $19.4 million, what a success and an absolute fan favorite. I did have the pleasure of meeting CJ Graham along other awesome Jason icons at Monster Mania several years ago. And I do own a signed hockey mask by CJ Graham. What a pleasure to meet him. I also did get a photo op of him in full Jason costume. Thanks to Kane Hodder for shoving me into CJ Graham. He was dressed up as Jason too. And I had two terrifying Jasons to take pictures with. So, you know, as I've said in the episode of the Monster Mania Experience special, you know, the horror community is just awesome, and it's a great way to meet your horror nightmares. So definitely do that. I rate this film an absolute 4.5, almost a 5 out of 5 Graves. I think that it's really excellent. So go and check it out. You know, you really can't go wrong. Friday the 13th is such a classic franchise that will always be here to stay, and it definitely transcends generations. I think you'll have people wanting to dress up as Jason probably as young as about 7 years old, at least I saw during this season's Halloween anyway, all the way through people that are in their late 40s, 50s. I mean, what's not to like? It's the luckiest day of the year, right? Well, go try your luck. Now back to you, Ghost Joe.
Hey, thanks so much for that awesome, awesome review, Edgegrave. Very, very, very cool. Again, that is one of my favorite and my very first horror movie that I ever saw. So it definitely means a lot to me to hear about a homicidal guy that goes around killing people, a zombie homicidal guy. But I actually just recently found this out too. And I heard you do it in the beginning, and I had actually, you know, we had always thought it was but it's actually not. Did you know this? So it's actually K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K- and Ma, M-A. And where this comes from is they wanted to figure out a way so when you're seeing through Jason's eyes in the, you know, while the camera is showing Jason killing somebody, you're always seeing through his eyes. But they wanted to separate how he does it from, you know, so you know it's him, right? So what they did was they came up with this kick, 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 ma, ma, ma. And where it comes from is the very first movie where Jason's mom is, you know, going crazy at the end and she's about to kill the main character. Spoiler alert, by the way. Sorry about that. And if you haven't seen that, for God's sakes, man, go see the first Friday the 13th. But what happens is she hears in her head, kill her mommy, as Jason pretty much saying it in her head. So he came up with kick, 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 ma, 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 ma. And they ran it through some effects stuff, and that's what it came out to be. So it's actually not, which I thought it was as well. So very, very cool tidbit right there. And yeah, go and impress your friends with that one. All right, so now it's on to some I read it on Reddit. So this one's entitled My Very Real Ouija Board Experience, The Day I Met Zozo. Hi all, I've been a follower for a long time, but I am a first-time poster. This is going to be a long post, so I will just dive straight into it. It was the fall in the 8th grade. This experience was close to a decade ago, but I still remember this day like it was yesterday. It would be a night that would change me forever. My good friend at the time, David, had been using a homemade Ouija board at my friend Jared's house, just up the road. He wouldn't stop talking about it. Apparently, they had extended contact with a spirit named Yvonne. Remember this name, it's going to come back later. He went on and on about what happened, but I was very skeptical, yet kind of intrigued. I have always been fascinated by the paranormal. Some of my earliest memories are of me staying up late watching History Channel's Haunted History with my mom. After hearing him go on and on for what seemed like hours, he made plans to hang out the following Friday and purchase a real Ouija board. We purchased the board from a local record and occult bookstore for $19.99. I clearly remember the old man who ran this register warning us that this is not a toy and to be careful. We also joked around with an older couple, mid-30s. That's not old, you... Yeah. Anyway, and they made comments along the lines of, "Aw, your first Ouija board? That's a rite of passage." Still remember my first experience with demons. We laughed it off and went on our way. When we returned, we hunkered down in my basement. The plan was to order pizza, watch Insidious, great movie by the way, which just came out, and wait until 3 a.m. before we start the fun. This is already starting on a really, really bad note. Damn. All right. The pizza came and went, and we thoroughly enjoyed the movie. But we still had a few hours to burn. We spent the following hours playing Gears of War 2 and the demo of recently released Bulletstorm. We also got prepared. We researched what and what not to do when using a spirit board. And during that research, we came across the name Zozo. This is a name that will haunt me for the rest of my life. After what seemed like days, the time finally came. The witching hour. We were alone. The house was still. I think it's important to note my older brother was sleeping in the basement in a different room which he occupied. We gathered our materials, a few white candles, which we heard would attract more pleasant spirits. Across from my baptism, I cleared off the table and the board itself. I will admit, I was already shaking uncontrollably, even though I was still skeptical at this point. I kept telling myself in my head, nothing is going to happen. This is all BS. I would be proven wrong in a matter of minutes. So it began. No light, except for the few tea candles we had lit around the board. We started by warming the board up, which we had heard about online. Ouija, 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 we recited as we both moved the plastic optical piece around in circles. At this time, it seemed the room darkened. There was a strange sense of focus on the board. It was almost as if it was glowing. We asked our first question, "Are there any spirits present?" The plastic piece slowly crept to yes. I was dumbfounded. I kept asking him if he was moving it, but by the look on his face, I knew the answer. He wasn't. The first spirit we came in contact with was apparently an angry old man. He cursed at us and told us we were going to die. With more questions, we asked her. We asked her? You said it was an old, angry old man. Increasingly got more angry. I knew this was for real now. You could feel it. The cold being sucked out of the room. You could just feel its presence. We both got freaked out and agreed to slam the cross on the board. In an instant, all was still. He was gone. I was done. If I wasn't shaking before, I was now. I wanted to put the box away, burn the effing thing, and forget about it. My friend pushed me to keep going. And at that, we both made one of the stupidest mistakes of my life. He wanted to try and contact Yvonne again, an apparently friendly ghost of a dead woman that he contacted earlier. He asked aloud, "Is there a spirit named Yvonne with us here tonight?" Again, the board slowly crept over to yes. The air grew thick and was heavy and stale and almost frigid. All the hairs on our body were standing up. It felt like static energy in the air. We heard voices coming, ever so slightly, from the other side of the room. And right beside us on the sofa, we felt a cold spot on the couch we were sitting on. It felt like a bag of ice had been resting there. I don't remember everything, but we spoke to her for what seemed like a whole bunch of hours, but was probably only a few minutes. If I wasn't shaking earlier, I was definitely shaking now. At some point, my friend asked, "Yvonne, are there any demons present in this house?" At that question, I was furious. We both agreed to never bring up demons when using the board, and I really didn't want to know the answer. I was so ready to be done. She, or whatever it is, fell silent. We thought she had left, and maybe she did. But a few minutes later, the plastic piece slowly crept over to yes. Before we could ask the next question, the piece started doing crazy eights, at first incoherent, but then it started going to Z, then to O, then back to Z, then to O. We panicked. I was in tears. We put the cross on the board in lightning speed, and suddenly it stopped. I was petrified. We packed the board up and decided to head up the stairs and get the inevitably terrible sleep we could imagine, or just wait until the sun came up. This is when my friend started to act weird. This is when the bad stuff started to happen. He was really out of it, dazed almost. I remember going up the stairs and him standing in the darkness at the bottom of the stairs, staring off at the light switch. He was caressing it. "David, are you all right? Come on, man, let's go," I called to him, voice shaking, tears rolling down my cheek. He slowly looked up at me with a smirk, and I will never forget, and just softly said, "I'm fine." We make it back to my room. I'm ready for bed. I'm ready to sleep off this nightmare. Even everything will be better in the morning, I tell myself. And all of a sudden, he drops to the floor. He starts convulsing. He started laughing maniacally and uncontrollably. The way he was shaking was inhuman. And the way he was laughing, I'll never forget it. I will never forget the way he was looking at me. The whole time he was looking me dead in the eyes. I will never effing forget the look in his eyes. I'm worried for his life. I am shouting at this point. The fact no one woke up is astonishing. I don't know how long this went on for. Probably close to 5 minutes, but again, it felt like hours. He finally came to. Sun is up at this point. We somehow managed to sleep for a few hours. We sleep in the same bed. And when I ask him about it, he doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember anything past when we slammed the cross on the board. All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I read it on Reddit. I thought that was super, super creepy. And if that is a true encounter, listen, don't play with the Ouija board unless you really know what you're doing. You know, like my buddy Chris Whitehouse of the White House investigation team, they use the Ouija boards all the time, but they know exactly how to use it and exactly how to close it and all that stuff. And, you know, of course, treat everything and everybody with some respect, because that could really bite you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, actually, speaking of Chris Whitehouse, here is his next clip on this creepy whistle thing that he heard on one of his investigations. So check it out.
Hi, this week I'm playing you a clip from my YouTube channel where I caught a whistle response. Whistling is something we generally try and never get anything back. We always live in hope. This one I actually heard in real time as well. Now everyone is accounted for, sat underground in a basement, and far off in the distance, in the same location we were in, we get a little woo-woo back. So mine will be the first whistle you hear, and then the response will be repeated because it's on a video and I'm trying to highlight what I heard. Check out our YouTube channel. Send your stories into Joe. We'd love to hear your accounts or your evidence. And meanwhile, back to Joe.
Thank you for that amazing segment, as always, Chris. You always have awesome evidence to share with us, and I totally appreciate it. And I hope to hear some more stuff soon, too. That would be awesome. And if you guys love this stuff, please check out the White House Investigations channel on YouTube. You could also check out his Talking Paranormal YouTube channel as well. All that's in the show notes if you want to check them out. And he also, I know the holidays are over and past us, and maybe you don't have money right now, but it's only $8, people. Chris Whitehouse has an amazing book called Into the Darkness, Becoming a Ghost Hunter. So please, 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 it's on Amazon. So get it on Amazon, or you could get it on the Kindle as well. So definitely check it out, guys. It's awesome. Chris Whitehouse is amazing, and his team is great as well. So definitely give them some love, because they're great, and they're great to me. So I appreciate them greatly, 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 greatly. And so now we're going to take a trip to the Cryptid Zoo. So this week we're talking about the Wampus Cat. The Wampus Cat is described as a large mountain lion-looking feline with six legs, four for running like lightning and two for fighting. And it has a ball-like formation, seemingly, of quills or spikes on the end of its tail. It's also believed to be somewhat amphibious, too. That's one tough kitty, isn't it? The lore of the animal comes from Cherokee mythology, and I'm going to read the origin right now from AppalachianHistory.net. So one of the lores is that an evil demon called Iwa, the spirit of madness, had been terrorizing the village of Etowah, which is now North Carolina. The village shamans and war chiefs called for a meeting. The wise shamans told the war chiefs that sending the braves to hunt and kill the Iwa was surely going to be the end of the tribe, for the Iwa had terrible power to drive men mad with a glance. The war chiefs argued that the Iwa could no longer feast on the dreams of the Cherokee children, and that something must be done. Together, they agreed that their strongest brave would go alone and bring great honor to his family and tribe by killing the mad demon. Standing Bear, or Great Fellow, depending on the story version, was the strongest, fastest, sneakiest, smartest, and most respected brave in all of the Cherokee Nation. He was chosen to do battle with the demon, and he walked from his village. The shamans blessed him, and the war chiefs gave him many fine weapons with which to slay the beast. And on the edge of town, his wife, Running Deer, bid him a final farewell. She would never see him the same way ever again. You see, weeks went by, and there was no word from Standing Bear. Suddenly, late one night, the stricken Brave came running back into the camp, screaming and clawing at his eyes. One look and Running Deer knew her husband was no more. With time, he would be able to pick berries and work in the fields with the young girls and the unmarried widows, but he would never be any good as being a husband ever again. And by Cherokee law, that meant he was dead. Standing Bear's name was never mentioned ever again, but Running Deer had loved her husband and she wanted revenge. Running Deer went to the shamans and they gave her a booger mask. It's a bobcat's face. And they told her that the spirit of the mountain cat could stand against the Iwa, but she must be the one to surprise the demon. The war chiefs gave her a special black paste, which when rubbed on her body, would hide her scent as well as her body. She kissed her former husband on the forehead, his blank eyes staring, and headed off to seek her revenge. Running Deer knew the woods as well as she knew the village, and she ate sweet berries to keep up her strength over the many days, but she still came across no sign of the Iwa. Then, late one night, she heard a creature stalking down by the stream. As she crept slowly towards the creek, she heard a twig snap behind her. She spun and just as suddenly realized how quickly it could have been the end of her. Behind her, a wily fox darted across the pathway. If that had been the Iwa, I would be mad now, the widowed Cherokee woman thought to herself, and she continued toward the creek. At the edge of the creek, she saw footprints which did not belong there, and her former husband's breastplate lay at the edge of the water. As she followed the prints upstream, she saw the demon. Its hulking form lurched hideously over the water, drinking from the pristine mountain spring. The Iwa hadn't seen her. Running Deer crept even closer, and just as she felt she could bring herself no closer, she sprang. The Iwa spun and saw the cat spirit mask and began to tear at itself as the spirit of the mountain cat turned its powerful magic back on itself. The Iwa tumbled backward into the pool, and Running Deer immediately turned on her heel and ran as fast as she could back to the village, never once looking back. When she arrived home, she sang a song to herself, a quiet song of grief for her husband, but also of joy for the demon's banishment. The shamans and war chiefs declared Running Deer the spirit talker and home protector. Some say the spirit of Running Deer inhabits the Wampus Cat, and that she continues her eternal mission of watching her tribe's lands to protect them and their peoples from the demons that hide in the dark and lost places of Tennessee. Another law of the Big Kitty is about a Cherokee woman who did not trust her husband. The woman's husband went out to hunt with his fellow warriors. Suspicious, the woman put on a mountain lion coat and went to spy on him. When she found out, the medicine man punished her by forcing her to wear the skin forever, transforming her spirit into the Wampus Cat. So this creature has been seen in many different states along the Appalachian Mountains. The majority of sightings have been in Tennessee. It's believed to be responsible for killing livestock in the southern areas of the Appalachians. The first reports came about in the early 19th century, and sightings continue to this day. A man named Willie McQuillan claims to have come face to face with the beast outside of his home when he was 9 years old. He described it as having jet black fur, glowing eyes, and it let out a high-pitched screeching hiss, which is said to be another trait of this magical shape-shifting pussy. Yeah. He had a similar encounter many years later at the same house. The Wampus Cat also lends its likeness to a bunch of schools in four different states, including Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. Have you seen the Wampus Cat or any other cryptid? Let me know. You know the number. All right, so now guess what time it is, kiddies? It's the haunted eBay segment. So the first item is called Haunted Paranormal $1 Bill. It brings luck and fortune. It's going for $25. And it's shipping from Galleon, Ohio. Since I was a child, I could communicate with the dead. I am a practicing medium, but I communicate best with spirits who enter only certain types of vessels. I believe this is to be because of my close connection with dolls and teddy bears as a child. When I first realized I inherited this gift after many of these spirits began speaking to me. My mother murdered my father when I was just 4 years old, and I believe the first spirit to ever talk to me was another spirit who was with my father after he died, and it was trying to communicate to me for him. Ever since the day my father was murdered, I have searched for his spirit all across the country for over 20 years in hopes that someday I find the vessel he may have inhabited. Of course, that is if he ever inhabited or inhabits one at all. I will always hold that hope. However, because I can still communicate with these spirits, I like to communicate with them first. Then I find them a home with those who appreciate spirits as much as I do. I was recently contacted by a banker who chooses to remain anonymous by his own request. This man who contacted me was a very warm elderly gentleman who had heard about my abilities through a psychic he used to confer with routinely while alive. This man contacted me after he found out that he only had a few weeks to live. The man was a very kind person, and he believed in the paranormal tremendously. The man gave me $100 in $1 increments. The man said that his soul would inhabit these bills once he passed away and advised me to share the wealth with 99 others, but to keep $1 for myself in the end. The man also advised me that each $1 bill would bring its owner a large sum of money if they never spent the bill and always kept it in their pocket until their large surprise sum of money came. Once the bill brings your surprise fortune, it must be handed to someone else for free anonymously so the man's spirit can continue to breed wealth for the others. In essence, the man truly wants it this way because this is his way of believing his soul never truly dies. You will be given a random $1 bill from the man himself before he died until all 99 are sold. The man told me to charge less than $30 per $1 bill to honor his memory, so I plan to keep my promise and do just as he requested. The man will grant her a fortune of my own once I have $1 left. Well, yeah, because you're charging $25 for each dollar, so that's pretty good money right there. If you choose to buy more than one, you must give the others away without telling them under any circumstances what the meaning is behind it by request from the man, or it will lose its energy and power. Well, if you believe that one, I have some haunted pennies to sell you for $5 each. Holy crap. What kind of, you know, I don't know about people anymore, man. The fact that you're trying to sell a dollar for $25, and then everything that you say is kind of explaining why you're doing so. It just, it's too perfect, you know? So the next item is haunted ancient captured female vampire transformation. The starting bid is $75, or you can buy it now for $180, and it is being shipped from Las Vegas, Nevada. By popular demand, I have gone through the dangerous task of binding an ancient female vampire to train and transform you into a real vampire. So, I guess a lot of people have asked this person to do this for one reason or another, I guess. The vampire pendant that will come with an attached ribbon and comes in a small bag that it must be kept in during the day and must be worn on around your neck at night and while you sleep for the transformation and training to begin. This training and transformation into a vampire will be complete in 45 days as long as you do not expose the pendant to sunlight of any kind. The benefits of becoming a vampire are many and varied, but here are a few new talents that you can expect. Clairvoyance, faster in movements, hyper-aware senses, and amazing strength and thrall. So if you want to become a vampire, this may be the way to do it. I don't know, though. In this day and age, you have to be really careful as a vampire. I would suggest asking potential bitees to produce medical documents showing that they have no disease, you know, communicable by blood before sinking your teeth in. Yeah, you want to become a vampire, go ahead, I guess. And, or, you know, you want to lose $180, you know. So, and the last item is an authentic demon-possessed Ouija board. It says, real, satanic, haunted, extremely dangerous. The price is $120, and it comes from Mount Vernon, Texas. Authentic demonic-possessed Ouija. Extremely dangerous. This is an extremely active Ouija board you can see in a lot of my YouTube videos. I've never closed the portal, and I've used it at least 1,000 times. If you want a lot of activity, here you go. Please use caution. Your home will become infected with demons. Oh, a gift will also come with it. So, yeah, thanks, pal. Here's 1,000 demons for $120, but I sent you this lovely scented candle. I hope you enjoy. So that's it for Haunted eBay. Remember, the Warped Reality Podcast takes no responsibility for any paranormal activity that does or does not happen if you choose to purchase any of these items. And if you do, and yeah, please give me a call, 845-600-0744, and let me know your experiences. Or you could email me, ghostjoeny@gmail.com.
Tiny, terrifying tales.
This one's entitled Friday the 13th, written and narrated by Ghost Joe. So let me introduce myself. My name is Matt. I'm 23 years old, and I live in a quiet, boring town where nothing ever seems to happen. That is, until last Friday, the 13th to be exact. Now, I know what you're thinking, but this story isn't about a homicidal maniac exacting revenge on some horny teenagers. I've never been a superstitious guy, and I didn't believe in ghosts. You see, I am a night security guard at the local cemetery. This place is huge, and it houses a few famous residents, so it's always getting trespassers and vandals sneaking into it in the middle of the night. Last Friday was no different, or at least it didn't seem to be at first. I started my shift, the graveyard shift, at midnight, performing my hourly rounds armed with my trusty flashlight. It was kind of chilly, with thick fog casing the area. About 20 minutes in, I started hearing a loud rustling near the bushes of the old Vanderbilt tomb. This isn't unusual, as it could be an animal, but it felt off. Something told me to investigate, so I climbed up on the wall leading to the tomb, and I headed towards the bushes. Once I got over there, I looked, but I didn't see anything. I was about to turn and go back to my route when I spotted movement out of the corner of my eye, darting fast behind some trees. It's weird, though. It looked like a shadowy figure, like darker than night, if that makes any sense. It startled me more than it scared me, so I regained myself and I started walking towards where that figure ran. About 100 feet later, I realized how quiet it had gotten. The tree stood still, and I could hear a faint whispering behind the tree off to my right. I darted as quickly as possible to the tree, expecting to find some dumbass kids. Instead, all I found was a key lying on the floor. It looked like one of those old fancy ones that could open up fancy gates. I had never seen it before. I threw it in my pocket and went back to continue my rounds. It must be my mind playing tricks on me, but as I went back to the pathway, it looked different to me, like unkempt and old-looking. As I'm walking, I began to realize that the gravestones looked different and that there were way fewer than I remember. I walked a little further, and then I heard the whispering again, much louder this time. It's weird. It almost sounded like the whispers were saying my name. It scared me, but I'm a man of the law, and I have to investigate. As I follow the whispers, it seems to be taking me off the path into a heavily wooded area. I don't really know this part, as it's not really my usual route. I go past some trees and into this clearing with a few gravestones and an old mausoleum. The whispers were getting louder and louder as I approached the area. Of course, at this time, my flashlight dies. I should bury it in the ground. I walk closer to the mausoleum, and I tried to open the door. It was locked. Then I remembered the key that was in my pocket. I put it in the keyhole and turned it over. I swung the door open and stepped in. Very carefully, of course. At this point, the whispers stopped, and there was no one in there. But there was oddly a candle lit close to the inscription on the wall. I stepped closer to check it out. Here lies our son Matthew, our brave man of the law. My stomach turned, and chills ran down my spine. I turned to get the hell out of there, but the door was shut, and no matter how hard I pushed and pulled, it wouldn't open. I was panicking, wondering if this was some sort of prank. The whispers began again, louder and more pronounced than before. I then heard a female's voice that was louder than the rest say, "It's okay. You're home now." A whole bunch of memories began flooding my mind. This is where I belong. I remember now, 10 years ago, on a night like this, on a Friday the 13th. So I hope you guys enjoyed that tiny terrifying tale. Oh, by the way, I'm always looking for people to narrate my tiny terrifying tales. So if you think you'd like to do that, I would be more than happy to check it out and see if you'd like to do that. So yeah, definitely get in touch with me, 845-600-0744, or email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. So that's the end of the show, guys. Happy Friday the 13th. And thank you to all my contributors, Chris Whitehouse of the Whitehouse Investigation Team. Check him out. Edgegrave Dave for his awesome horrible review. And my buddy Steve for doing the awesome artwork for the thumbnail. So that's going to do it for me, guys. On the next episode of the Warped Reality Podcast, that's episode 30. It will be premiering on Friday, January 27th. So please don't forget to set your calendar alarms, I guess. And it's going to be an awesome collaboration interview that I had done with Miss Kat Ward of the Paranormal Hearts Podcast. You're going to love it. We talk about a lot of stuff. And yeah, so have a great couple weeks, everybody. And Stay spooky! Bye!
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.